are back.
You're listening to You Would Think, the Philadelphia Flyers podcast. I'm your host, Kyle Collington. Joining me today, you guys already know who it is. It's the one, the only, it's Mr. Mike Giletto Sr.
Hi, how's everybody doing? It's another great day in the neighborhood.
It is another great day in the neighborhood. The Flyers are still winning, so you kind of already know how this show is going to sound. Before we get into today's show, I'm going to hit the plugs real quick. We got a lot of new listeners this week, so I'm definitely going to make sure to take my time. We're on Twitter, at YWT Podcast. Our producer, Mike Giletto Jr., does a great job running the show over there. You can also find him, Mike Giletto Jr., at Mike_Giletto. Our co-host, Mike Sr., here is at Mike from S Jersey. You can also find the show just by searching You Would Think on Facebook, Instagram, Podbean, iTunes, Google Podcasts, Spotify. I looked at our stats today. We're on some weird apps. So to those people listening on Podcatcher, there's a couple other ones. Thanks. We appreciate having you. Getting right into it, the Flyers are still good.
Yes, I was just going to say, but then I said, let me back off and let you do the intros. Yeah. I hope every show from now until May, it starts with, it's a beautiful day, and another beautiful day in the neighborhood. That's going to be the catch as we keep going until they get knocked out. If they don't get knocked out, then we'll be talking about it in the offseason. It's another beautiful day in the neighborhood.
It would be ideal if we could start every show with, well, and the Flyers still haven't lost.
Exactly.
But I don't necessarily expect that because that's not how that works.
No, not at all.
You know, before we get into this, I do actually want to touch on something, and I just mentioned it briefly there. We got a lot of new listeners this past week.
Yeah, some strange places. We're as far
in some strange places for sure.
Like Denmark, multiple. I did want to shout out Canada, which makes sense.
I did want to shout out to the one gentleman in Australia who downloaded our show for the last 5 or 6 weeks.
Yep.
We see you. We appreciate you. No, but I did want to talk to you a little bit more on the grand scheme in terms of the Philadelphia sports conversation. We got into it a little bit this week offline about. One of the big topics on sports radio in the city this week. One of the big topics on sports radio in the city was the Flyers. And that's the first time in quite a long time.
And the lack thereof, the being, you know.
Right. And the conversation about the Flyers tends to fall off. That's really no secret to dedicated day-in, day-out Flyers fans. It's really no secret that coverage on local radio stations tends to be a little lower than in the other sports, and I think I'm being kind when I say it.
Yeah,
like
and
that.
This week it wasn't just lower; they made a conscious effort to try to talk Flyers, and they did it poorly. On top of it,
yes,
they talked more.
They talked more about the lack
of why they don't talk about it than they did just talk about it. Okay,
but you know what?
Acknowledge that you don't talk about it and talk about it. Don't talk about the fact that the reason we don't is because our listeners, blah, blah, blah. Talk about the fact that they're starting Elliott against the Capitals and not Hart and how I thought that was a mistake. That's what makes compelling talk. That's what makes talk radio. Not why don't we talk about the Flyers?
Of course.
Once you're going to talk about them, talk about the Flyers.
Yeah, and we'll get into the Hart Elliott situation from Wednesday, Thursday, as we get on later in the show. But I did want to take this opportunity to say a little piece here to those bandwagon fans, and I'm going to ask that you let me go here for a minute. I would like to reach out to those bandwagon fans, those people that may not have watched hockey recently or may have watched it when they were a kid or when the team was good, or maybe you only come back when they're winning. I would like to reach out and say, please, welcome aboard. We love having you. At least I do. I don't know how Mike Sr. feels, and I will ask for your opinion in just a second. I'm going to finish my piece first. I'll let you go. I do want to hear your opinion on this. I would like to welcome the bandwagon fans aboard. For me, watching hockey is fun. I love watching the sport. It is the most fun sport to watch, and I love watching it with other people. I personally love introducing people to the sport. Here, watch how fun this is. I'll teach you what offsides is. I'll teach you what icing is. But even bandwagon fans who may have been gone, who may not have watched since the 2010 Cup run, or since Eric Lindros left, or since the Broad Street Bullies broke up in the late 70s, early 80s. I would like to personally welcome you aboard. It is fun having people to talk about this team with. I love this game. I love this sport. I love this team. And I love talking about it with people. That's why Mike Jr. and I started this show a couple of years ago. That's why me and Mike Sr. brought it back a couple of months ago. We love talking about this. We don't think it gets the representation it needs on local sports radio. That's why we're here. And you know what, Mike? When the Flyers finally win, whether it's this year, next year, 5 years from now, I don't care. Whenever it is, I want 2 million people to be at that parade. I don't want to go to a parade with 15,000 people from Reddit and Twitter who have followed the Flyers since 2003 and, you know, they're real fans and they can name every player on the roster. That's great. I want those people to be there. Those people will appreciate more it more than the bandwagon fans, and that's great. And I'll appreciate it more than the bandwagon fans too. But my God, I want Broad Street to be stuffed. I want the Flyers parade to look like the Eagles parade. And the day, the city shut down that day. And right now, if the Flyers win the Stanley Cup, the city doesn't shut down. You could have that parade in 20 minutes on Kelly Drive. I want the city to be gridlocked for a month because of this parade. That's how many people I want to show up. And we can't do that without the bandwagon fans. And you know how you get dedicated, diehard hockey fans? You introduce people, bring them in, and watch. Let them watch a team that's this much fun. That's how you grow this city's hockey base for the future. And this team is doing it right now. There is young talent on this team that is fun to watch. Everybody join the bandwagon. Please come along. We love to have you here. I will see you on Broad Street in June. Go ahead, Mike. Tell me what you think.
That was a solid 2 minutes. I was timing it, and I'm glad. And here's my response, unfiltered, unprepared, because I had no idea you were going to do that.
I sprung this on you. Yep. We didn't talk about this before the show. And I did talk about it with your son, for the record.
Okay. I'm going to give my honest, unbridled response and opinion, and I don't want to hear any pissing and moaning either way.
No, I let you speak.
This is what it is.
I'm going to mute my microphone while you speak.
We can do another 100, 200, 400 shows, okay? And this may surprise you just a touch. You will probably never say anything ever that I will agree with more, okay? Everybody, welcome back. Everybody come on board. Again, I think there's a lot more than the casual fan that's coming back. I think you have hardcore Flyer fans who just didn't respect the product that they were putting out there, and I can't fault them for that. You really had to be a diehard to watch 80 games the last two or three years. There was so much up and down, and there were times that I didn't tune into a particular game here or there because I just couldn't watch that coach anymore, okay? So I completely and wholeheartedly agree with you. I welcome everyone with open arms, with the possible exception of Johnny Marks. Now, Johnny Marks, you can come back too. You just have to listen to the podcast, like I said, with one podcast, and then you can come back. Just come in, enjoy it, enjoy the run. This is a fun team to watch. Again, I could not agree with you more.
Okay, that's good to hear. And I had a feeling you would agree with me, but, you know, I did just kind of put myself out there, and you and I hadn't talked about it beforehand, so that could have gone poorly.
And to everyone listening, I swear that is an honest response. It's not the more Flyer fans that come on board, the more people who may listen. It's I swear it's got nothing to do with that.
The more you sit here and insist that has nothing to do with it, the worse it sounds.
But, But you can hear my response and say, well, he just wants more. You know, I honestly want, you know, the parade thing is great. I would love to see 2 million people out there. You know, the more hockey fans, the better. You want other people to enjoy it too.
You know why I want more listeners for this show? Because I want people to interact with. I want conversation. I want people to send us questions on Twitter at YWT Podcast, by the way. I want people to interact with us. I want people to engage. I love talking about this team. This podcast started with me and Mike Jr. just talking on the phone at work. We worked in the same job, and it's a job where you're by yourself driving around all day, and we would just call each other and, you know, hang out and shoot the breeze and talk Flyers. And one day we decided, wait a minute, the local radio stations don't talk about this. Mike happened to have recording equipment in his house because he had a little bit of a career as a Spotify DJ for a minute there. But either way, like, we just decided to record it, and that's where this show came from, and I love doing this show. I've talked to you multiple times. I don't care how many people listen to this show. I love doing it, and I will continue to do this. I'll do it by myself if I have to.
I hear you.
I don't want to do that, but I'll do it if I have to.
Yes, I have the same enjoyment, whether it's 50 listeners, 150 listeners, or 150,000 listeners. I enjoy doing the show. I totally agree with you.
But the more people that we have listening, the more people we can engage with. That'll let us do things like run giveaways and do Twitter polls and have conversations and maybe get some, you know, some big name guests on, you know, when you can put some numbers in play. And I would love to do that. But in the meantime, I'm cool just talking about a really fun hockey team.
Absolutely. And they are a lot of fun. And I appreciate the words that you were using, and I agreed with them. But what came through even more so than the words you were using to express your opinion was the absolute passion that you have for it. And that's even better.
Hey, man, I have a Flyers tattoo on my chest for a reason. And that's the truth. Like, I love this team. I got this tattoo. I left plenty of room under it for Stanley Cup dates.
Oh, absolutely.
And I hope I get to make an appointment in about 3 months.
That would be fantastic. I love this team as well. I could never have gotten as mad as I got at the team over the last 3 years and early parts of this year as I did, unless I was passionately.
You didn't love them.
Exactly.
Yeah.
If I didn't care, oh, well, you know, no, I have a sincere passion for the game of hockey and an even deeper passion for the Flyers.
Yeah. And the thing that's crazy to me about this team is I said some pretty strong things on this show early in the season. I said that this team is going to make the Eastern Conference Finals.
Guys, he really did. You can go back.
I did.
You can go back and listen. He really, really did.
I don't remember what episode it was, but it was one of the episodes since we came back. It's one of the episodes with the current logo. And I said that. I said that the Flyers are going to make the Eastern Conference Finals.
And I told him how insane he was.
Yes, you did. And I've said things like that my whole life. I've never said things with that much conviction. I have never firmly believed
that as much as I believed it when I said it. And I still think you were insane for saying it at the time. I agree. I don't care how much right you proved to be.
I totally agree. It was absolutely ridiculous in October for me to suggest that the Flyers were an Eastern Conference final caliber team.
Well, you had...
And that's before they lost their leading scorer at the time.
Correct. Well, you and Kevin were early on touching on the subject of, and this was, I'm not going to say first 10 games, but certainly first 25, if not less, you guys both started to touch on, is something special going on here? Like, do we see signs that something special could be happening? And I thought it was too early for
all that.
You
thought it was nonsense, let's be honest.
No, I thought they were clearly playing better, playing the right way, had the right coach, and you know my whole take on the season was going to be a success either way. You know I said that a million times. But I thought the something special going on here and then seeing signs of something special, I thought it was a little premature. But now, 68 games in, you can clearly see there could be definitely something special going on here.
I would remove...
The
questions, yeah.
Well, when I put it in the question form, I'm not talking regular season. There is something special happening. They're not going to finish in the wild card spot. They're going to finish at 1-2 at the absolute worst 3. They're now 5 points ahead of Pittsburgh. So they're almost
and
looking
firmly
like,
tied with Washington.
Same exact record. So we'll do all that in a second. But for the regular season, could be something special. No, there is something special about this regular season.
Done.
It's done
yeah.
for sure. But my could be is playoff. Could there be something special playoff-wise happening? And as this continues to progress, it's looking more and more possible that there is something St. Louis Blues-like, you know, something special happening. Look, once the Blues started believing it was happening, it was happening. So if this team starts to believe what's going on now can also happen, or they start to do it in the playoffs, and that starts to happen, it's not about could be anymore. If the players believe it, it is happening. It doesn't matter what anybody else believes.
Right. And one of the reasons it's happening is how good this team is at home. Can we talk about this?
Well, Carter Hart never gives up more than 2 goals, ever.
Does any team in the entire league want to come into a first-round matchup in Philadelphia if the Flyers have home ice advantage?
It's going to be a tough win.
Does any team want to do that?
It's going to be a tough win. I mean, the only reason you put any type of pump into the brakes on that is it's this team's first foray into the playoffs, and playoff hockey is different. We always say there's nothing like playoff hockey. It's the most compelling thing in sports, without a doubt. In my mind, there's not, the Super Bowl pales in comparison to playoff hockey at any point in time in any round. Playoff hockey has an intensity you can't match in any other sport. Unfortunately for hockey, you can't match that intensity in the regular season either. So, but there's nothing like playoff hockey. So until they get there and show it, you know, I'm going to just pump the brakes. But no, if I'm another team, I don't want to play the Flyers in the first round.
Exactly. Especially if that involves coming into Philadelphia. The Flyers have been absolutely outrageous at home this year.
Dude, I don't think the Capitals want to play the Flyers in the first round anywhere.
I don't know if the Boston Bruins would want to come into Philadelphia in round one, if that were possible.
No, they definitely wouldn't want to come here in round one. I don't think they'd be afraid of anybody they play.
No. But that's a matchup that they would be concerned
about.
Yeah,
it would not be their dream first-round matchup. Absolutely not.
Not anybody's dream first-round matchup. The Flyers are terrifying.
Yep, absolutely. And before the hour is up here, let's not forget to talk about Boston and Tampa and the two wars they had this week. But go ahead.
No, and we will. But, the Flyers are 25-5-4 on home ice.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
And I'm having a hard time finding Carter Hart's most recent numbers at home. But as of February 29th, he was 18-2-2 with a 167 and a 941. And he's been good in the two games since that update.
Right. I was going to say his goals against has to be under two because he, never gives up more than two. Every once in a while, he'll give up two. And then everything else is 1-0. So you do the math, and the goals against has to be well under two. And if it's 1.68 a month ago, it can't be much more than 1.7 since, if not lower.
Right. It's actually absurd. And his season numbers are even starting to get really, really solid. He's up to a 243, or I'm sorry, down to a 243 right. goals against average. And his 913 is up. His 913 save percentage is, right around league average. It's
right.
It's definitely getting way, way, way better. Yeah, and he's starting to get himself into very good territory.
Yes, and he's trending upward, and he's getting better.
Absolutely.
And he's still 21.
And is just getting stronger
right. he's
every single
the
game.
Surface. Physically, he's going to get so much stronger over the next year or two or three.
The Flyers are 9-1 in their last 10, including, obviously the 9-game win streak that they are currently on.
Right. 9-0 in their last 9 is more impressive than 9-1 in the last 10. But
when you look at the standings page, it shows the last 10.
Blocks of 10, yeah.
Right. Washington is 4-4-2 in their last 10. So the Flyers are coming on strong, and that's why they have the same exact record.
Exactly. They picked up 8 points in 10 games. That's not easy to do.
It is absurd how quickly our narrative has shifted from, maybe we'll play Boston or Tampa. Oh, okay, well, maybe we'll play Pittsburgh, to, we're hosting Pittsburgh. We might win the thing and play a wild card team.
Yeah, they're now a 9-5 finish, something like that, from assuring that they're going to have home ice in the first round. That's how good and important this stretch has been.
Yeah,
a 10-4 or something like that, 10-3-1, they have a legitimate shot of being a top 2 seed.
Yep, and that's what I was talking about when I talked about this team making the Eastern Conference Finals. The thing that's crazy for me isn't that I predicted it. It's the fact that it's actually happening. It's the fact that I predicted this team's going to make the Eastern Conference Finals.
Well, that's not happening.
No, I know. I'm talking about...
Right, the things that you need to have happen in order for that to happen are happening. I'll give you that.
Well, one of the things I said during that conversation was that the Flyers were going to take a step forward this year, and they weren't going to be this mediocre team that we've seen for most of the last decade that finishes somewhere between 12th and 18th in the league. Sometimes they sneak into the playoffs and get knocked out in the first round. Sometimes they miss the playoffs, but it's fairly close. They've broken that mold for the most part.
They've crushed that mold. And mostly what that mold was and what you saw was they would play great for 3 or 4 games and play crappy for 3 or 4 games and, over the course of a season, play about 500 or maybe slightly better than 500 hockey. Maybe hit the playoffs, maybe miss the playoffs. And I think I finally figured out what was driving that, and that was the momentum of the team. Once the ball got rolling in a particular direction, the coaching staff and or players on that bench had no idea how to stop the ball from rolling, good and bad. So when it was rolling good, it just rolled. When it was rolling bad, it just rolled until it hit a bump and changed the roll, and something changed. This team and it's one of the coaching things that you bring to mind and how much we love Vigneault. And there's a few other things, and there's something else I want to point out as well. This team doesn't play the roll the ball, you know, play with the, you know, the same stamina that they've played with because of emotion. They play the same way up two, down two, up five, down three, tie game, first period, third period. The only thing that may change a little bit is they try to come out with that steady head in the first period, get the equilibrium, play, you know, play maybe an even first period, and then steamroll you the second and third. That's been a constant theme. Not every game goes that way, but it's been a constant trend and a constant theme throughout their season. But it goes to the play the same way all the time. Not only does the team play the same way from game to game to game, and look, they're all human, and you have your ups and your downs, and you have the New Jersey games here and there that they lost 5-0. I'm not saying everything's perfect, but the goal going into every shift, every game, every week, is to play the same way all the time, and they do that for the most part. Even from game to game, even from line to line, that's the biggest thing I've seen. Also noticed, the more success they have, the more you examine why and what's going on. The fourth line plays the same way the first line plays, and I don't necessarily mean territorially or in how much they score and whatnot, but the style of the game, where the players go, the system that they run. I know you're a big system guy. What yes. they do, the fourth line does the same thing, the third line does, the second line does, the first line does. They all play the same way, and that's all Vigneault.
Yeah, I've been watching this team super closely for, you know, 10-ish years, but I've been watching the Flyers for 25 almost.
Right.
I've never, ever, ever, ever in my 25 years watching the Philadelphia Flyers ever described them as a consistent team.
Correct.
They've never had. Correct. And that's more than it's more than your boy Dave Hakstol. That's more than even Paul Holmgren. Like, It for some reason, it just goes deeper on an organizational level. The Flyers have never been a consistent team.
Okay, well,
is insanely consistent.
Absolutely. And again, when you hit the ice every shift, knowing what your coach is expecting of you and knowing if you don't play that way, again, you're not going to be successful every single shift. But your goal is the same every single shift,
yep.
Or you're not going to play. That goes a long way toward creating a team that plays consistent hockey.
I can think on one hand the number of poor efforts this team has put forth this year. That New Jersey Devils 5-0 game.
And I don't even think that was a poor effort game. But go ahead. They played
when
poorly.
When you lose to the Devils, it's an effort issue. It has to be.
I disagree.
It's not a skill issue.
Look, the other team's still an NHL team. You can lose games to NHL teams without not trying. You can play poorly even if you're trying.
But either way, that doesn't change
your point. Go ahead.
Right. There's that game. There's the Pittsburgh 7-1, 7-2 game. And then the Islanders game that was right before it or right after.
They were the two game back-to-back. I will never forget those two games. Absolutely.
And that's about it.
That is it.
a little bit of issue on the West Coast road trip, but there are reasons behind that. You know, the Oscar diagnosis, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. There was a lot going on that trip.
Yeah, and even those, and look, Pittsburgh just went out and had the same trip Kevin brought up last week.
And they played a couple of great games.
Yeah, and I don't think that 1-4-1 stretch, I don't think was a whole lot of lack of effort either.
You could play poorly and
be trying.
There were a couple of poor efforts in there.
And look,
I agree.
And you play 82 games, you're not going to have 8-2 stretches every 10 games. You're going to have a stretch.
The number is less than five poor games the Flyers have had.
Absolutely. And that's why we're so happy and so excited about this team.
And that's supremely exciting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And another coaching issue, which I said I was going to mention while it's in my head, I was looking this morning, and you dig a little deeper. Give me your guess. What is the Flyers' leading penalty minute player? Who has the most penalty minutes? And more importantly, not who, but what's the number? How many penalty minutes does the Flyers' penalty leader have?
I don't know this answer. I'm going to guess the Flyers' leading penalty minute getter is going to be JVR with 38.
The number is almost right on the money. The number is 39.
Okay.
Do you know how low that is?
It's very low.
I mean, that's insanely low.
You see that across the NHL.
It's Farabee.
And honestly,
it's Farabee of all people. But
it's Farabee, okay.
But the number, 39, they don't have a player with more than 39 penalty minutes.
Nope.
And in years past, you would say that's a problem.
But you know what? They also don't have a player with more than 25 goals.
Right, right. They don't have a player averaging a point a game. There's so many statistical things. But the 39 penalty minutes, the reason I bring that up is, again, it's all coaching. This team, you know, yes, they can kill penalties, but they don't mean that doesn't mean okay, you play the game in a way that you can now be more aggressive and take more penalties because we can kill them. No, there's a clearly a plan in place to take as few penalties as possible. And that's, again, goes back to coaching. The guy's just done a tremendous job. And it's thankfully, finally, he's getting some mention around the league as a coach of the year candidate. Finally. It took way too long. It shouldn't have had to take a 9-game winning streak for it to happen, but that's what it's taken.
Well, Philadelphia Flyers fans will tell you, and I've been guilty of this too, will tell you that the league refuses to ever recognize us for anything, and you know they're not going to recognize one of ours until we force it upon them. So people will tell you that that was the only way for Alain Vigneault to get any sort of Jack Adams consideration, was if the team forced it upon the league.
So you would agree he is a Jack Adams candidate?
I agree that he should be.
Okay, so you...
I don't know if he will be. So, I believe he should be.
So in the vein of it's not all, you know, bubblegum and champagne, you will admit then that it was the right thing to let go of the prior coach?
Finally, I will admit that the coach we have is great. And so, we're going to leave it at that and move on.
So it was the right move to get rid of their old coach.
I am going to admit that the coach that we have is great.
So you're glad we got rid of the prior coach.
I am going to admit that the coach we have is great.
You know what? I'm going
to... And then
I'm
we're gonna, going to move on.
I'm
going
to take that as a win.
Either way,
I'm going to take it as a win. But and at your request, we'll move on.
I want to ask you a question that I asked you a couple of weeks ago.
Yes,
and it's a different answer now. A couple of weeks ago, I asked you who you would like the Flyers to play in the first round of the playoffs. Now, with the Flyers tied for first place and more options open, right? We're not looking at Boston and Tampa and Washington.
No, it's
we're looking at maybe Pittsburgh still, or like Columbus, Carolina, one of those teams. Well, so now what are you looking at?
Well, let's have two different conversations. I certainly don't want Pittsburgh to catch Washington. And the likelihood of that happening, I think, is small anyway.
I agree.
But
yeah.
I think Pittsburgh is going to be in that 2 or 3 seed. So it's either going to be
See, I think the Flyers and Washington are going to end up 1-2.
I agree. So yeah. I think Pittsburgh's going to be in that 2-3 no matter what.
Well, they're not going to be 2. That's what I'm saying. They're going to be in 3.
No, but either way, they're going to be playing that 2-3 matchup.
Oh, they're going to be playing in that matchup. Right. I'm sorry.
And I have no problem with Pittsburgh in the first round. I'm not saying we have to win. I'm not saying we're a lock to win. I'm just saying I have confidence that they can win and would win. I think our goaltending going into that series is clearly better. Their defense is clearly not very good. Our defense is clearly better. And if you can put a modicum of restraint on Crosby, you can actually beat them fairly quickly, I believe.
You know what? I'll say it. I'll take Hart over Murray at this point.
Oh, absolutely.
Or Jari or whoever they
absolutely.
Start.
Absolutely. I mean, based on their season, 100%
right.
for sure.
And I would like to clarify what I'm saying. Right this second with how they are playing recently, that is not a long-term. You know what? Yeah, it is.
Oh, even long-term.
Matt Murray
even
sucks. I'll take Carter Hart.
Yeah, if you told me you could have either goalie for the next
6-7 years, bite me.
And you have to keep that one for the next 6 or 7 years, I'm still taking Hart, even with Murray's 2 cups.
Yep.
But again, going into that series, I feel fairly confident that they can win that series. Again, they're not a lock. They have Crosby. As long as they have Crosby, they're always going to be a challenge.
That's fair.
Now, let's assume we catch Washington and we're 1. Who would we rather play of the 3 or 4 potential 7-8 seeds out there? And that's a more compelling conversation because there's so many differences in those teams. I would prefer either Columbus or Carolina for vastly different reasons.
Yeah, let me give you a little breakdown here right now. I'm looking at it. Mm-hmm. The New York Islanders are currently in the first wild card spot. By the way, the Flyers will play the first wild card team because the Boston Bruins are not getting caught. They'll play the second wild card team, and that's fine. So in that first wild card spot, currently is the New York Islanders. 67 games played, 79 points.
And they're no mortal lock to even make the playoffs or be in that 7 seed. And I would like to – that's the one team I would like to avoid.
I agree. Barry Trotz in the playoffs is – with the way they play.
Right, they play the way they play
and the way the refs
the way
call
play.
Playoffs and the penalties.
Right, right.
Yeah, they play playoff hockey, and that's problematic for the Flyers.
But they both play that – the first – order of business is not to give up a scoring chance and then we play out from that. They both play that
I think
style.
We see a whole lot of 2-1 games in that series.
Yeah. I think that's true.
And I don't think that's a bad thing for the Flyers.
No, I'm not saying they can't.
But from an entertainment standpoint, I would prefer to watch them play a team that's a little more high octane, and they can go back and forth a little
bit. And nor am I saying we can't beat the Islanders. We absolutely can beat the Islanders. We would be favored to beat the Islanders, and I'd be very confident going into the Islanders. Just I would be more confident if they were playing the goalie-less Carolina Panthers, Carolina Hurricanes. I think they and the can't score a goal Columbus Blue Jackets.
We'll get to those teams in a second. Right. We're going to run through these teams. Yeah. The second team on that list is the team you just mentioned. 69 games played, 79 points. The Columbus Blue Jackets currently have the second wild card position and would face the Boston Bruins if the playoffs ended today. I would have no problem facing that team.
No. Plus, you get to look at Tortorella for seven, whatever games.
You know what? And he's always fun
in a series.
He's
always entertaining no matter what.
When you get to see him 2, 3, 4 games in a row,
exactly.
He really has fun with it, too.
The off days, he never shuts up.
Right. Now, he has less fun when his team is down 3-0.
Correct.
Whatever the case may be. But, and hopefully, that would be the case.
But you're still going to hear from him. You're going to hear all the reasons why they're down 2-0 or down 3-1.
You will definitely hear Tortorella's opinions and if any of his players are having bathroom issues. you remember that story, right?
Absolutely. That's why I'm laughing.
The third team here is the Carolina Hurricanes. 66 games played, 77 points. Dude, I know you said they don't have a goalie, and you're right. I don't want any part of Carolina in a first-round series, man.
They're the best team of those three, for sure.
I agree.
Defensively,
now,
forwards, play,
they're
coached,
right now.
Love Brendan Moore. But they don't have a goalie. They just, they're, like, not even a bad goalie. They don't have, they're, you know, they might call a dude from Toronto back up and say, you know, come play. You know, they don't have a goalie.
But they have time. I believe Reimer and Mrazek are both going to be healthy by the playoffs once they get there. Okay. But either way, neither of those guys is really a playoff goalie. I get what you're saying.
Even if they're healthy, they still don't scare me. Mrazek's, you know, how good he was playing early in the season was the anomaly. So I have no fear of him in the playoffs.
And then the last two teams that are kind of in it here are New York, the Rangers and the Florida Panthers. Both of them have 68 games played, 76 points. So they're both chasing with a couple extra games played. It's going to be tough for either of those teams to make it.
Yeah, and those two, I think, would both be a dream matchup in the first round. We just showed you how, you know, what we can do to those two teams.
I think Florida's got a better shot of passing Toronto for the third spot in the Atlantic.
Probably than
getting either of the wild card spots, just based on how many teams they would have to jump.
But we just played both of them in a back to back with them both fighting for their playoff life, and we smoked them 2 games in a row. Both
Absolutely.
Teams. So, you know, I'm not, again, it's hockey. You play it against sports. You play the game because anything can happen. But I'd be supremely confident going into any Florida Rangers series.
Yeah, but you talk about goaltending, and both of those teams have goaltenders who are capable, if playing well, are capable of stealing games or even series.
Yeah, they do.
You know,
they do.
But Rafji's had a poor season, but he's been much better since January 1st. And the Rangers, like Henrik Lundqvist, can't even get on the ice.
Right.
Like he can't even get in the game because their other two goalies are both doing so well. So I understand what you're saying, and I agree that I would feel supremely confident with the Flyers playing either of those teams in the first round.
Yeah, if they lost either one
but
of those
But at the same
teams-
time, in terms of dodging a matchup, I would love to dodge the matchup with Sergei Bobrovsky in it. You know what I'm saying?
Would you rather play Bobrovsky in the Panthers, or would you rather play the Islanders?
Well, I'd rather play Columbus.
No,
Carolina.
That wasn't my question.
I think I'd rather play the Islanders.
Really?
Yeah, because
see the Islanders' system and the way they play.
You know what? It's different.
Their goalie almost doesn't matter.
Right. I would rather play the Panthers over anybody than the Islanders, than the Rangers out of those three
teams.
You
just told me you'd rather play the Islanders than the Panthers, didn't you?
I don't know. Okay. Well, I was talking about both those teams.
Okay.
And they're different. The Rangers are younger. They're faster. I think they're more dangerous in a playoff series than Florida is. But Florida has Bobrovsky, and I think Bobrovsky can steal games more than maybe the Rangers goaltending can.
Look, they
definitely both have pros and cons.
The only series where you would predict the Flyers in 5 is Columbus.
I mean, I agree.
Everything else, you're going to predict them in 6, and there's nobody.
Flyers in 3.
And there's nobody you can play in the first round if you finish at one. There's nobody you can play in the first round where you're not going to be predicted to win. The only possible series matchup that you may not be picked to win is if you finish three and you're on the road to Pittsburgh. Because I think if they finish two and they're home to Pittsburgh, I still think most people are going to pick them to win.
I agree.
When I say that, I mean nationally. Locally, 85% are going to pick them to win.
I'm going to pick them to win no Howard matter Eskin what. That's a spoiler.
Right, and Howard Eskin will pick them to lose. He'll be the 15%.
Right.
That's just the way that goes. He hates all $20,000 Flyer season ticket holders. So.
Okay. Sounded like we delved towards real personal there, and we're going to dive away from that.
He hates hockey. He hates Flyers fans. He's been saying in the city, it's not a hockey town. There's 20,000 season ticket holders, and those are all your Flyer fans. And
it's crazy how the station stopped talking about them when he got up into management. Isn't that wild how that happened?
Right.
How Glenn Macnow was pushed out? Right. Oh, okay. Yep. Just checking.
And he's so wrong. There's hundreds of thousands of Flyer and hockey fans. Hundreds of thousands.
And I spoke to them early in this show.
Correct.
I hope they're listening to this one. And if you guys are still here, we actually are going to talk about the rest of the NHL here for a minute. So for those of us that like the whole league, here's a little bit of an update for you guys around the league. Maybe people that weren't paying attention all season. How about that? The Boston Bruins are really good at hockey.
Yep.
They have 98 points. They're almost at 100 points, and they still have 13 games to go. They're really good at hockey. They are leading the league. They're 8 points up, or 7 points up, I'm sorry, in the President's Trophy race.
Yeah, Tampa Bay had a window there to
close the gap.
They had it down to 5 points, and they had two games with Boston coming up. And I think they actually split those two games, plus they lost another game where Boston won. So I think the gap is now 7 or 8 points. Very unlikely that they're going to catch Boston.
Yeah, and speaking of Boston, the Boston Bruins do come to town on Tuesday, and boy, that's going to be a slobber knocker.
Yep.
And I can't wait.
It should be a lot of fun. I hope Boston is as up for the game as we are.
Yeah.
Yeah, they do. They're one of those teams that plays pretty much the same way almost every single night, so you're almost assured of getting their best. We've beaten them at their best. We've lost to them when we've been at our best, so anything can happen. It's just, again, it's sports, and they'll play the game, and we'll see what happens.
If my prediction comes true that the Flyers make the Eastern Conference Finals, then Tuesday's game could very well be a preview.
Oh, absolutely.
Because the Boston Bruins could very well be the team waiting for them if they manage to get through two rounds of Metropolitan Division play.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to it, and I hope it happens. I'm really looking forward to a Boston-Tampa Bay second-round matchup.
Oh, man.
But they don't,
man.
I have the hockey right the way they do it now. I know they keep changing it like every other year in the format.
No, they don't. They don't.
But in my mind, they do. Only the top two seeds go to the wild card. Everything else is 2 and 3 in your division, and then the two winners would play each other,
correct,
right? So if Boston wins their first round matchup and Tampa Bay wins their first round matchup, they play each other in the second round.
In the second round, correct.
Locked in.
Yes. Right?
Yeah, I would so love to see that series.
That's why we got Washington-Pittsburgh in the second round for a couple years in a row.
Right.
They kept finishing 1-2 in the division.
Right.
They both win their first round matchup, and they play each other in the second round.
Which I think is great for hockey. I think it was a really, really good idea because nothing spurs that rivalry like matching up in the playoffs more than once every 5-6 years.
Some of our listeners might not have watched hockey since the playoff format changed. So just real quick, how it works is the top three spots in your division make the playoffs guaranteed. And in the first round, that one seed will play a wild card team, and the 2 and 3 seeds will play each other. So you have the top three seeds in your division automatically make it, and then two divisions per conference. So you got 6 teams, 3 from the Metropolitan, 3 from the Atlantic, and then 2 wild card teams, and that's your 8 playoff teams. Just for anybody that might have watched back in the old 1-8 days, which I do like and I would love for them to go back to. But I do also enjoy the rivalry structure of the current system. How you're guaranteed to play a divisional team in round 2. And that drives rivalries for sure.
Quite possibly the best thing the NHL has done for the longstanding health of the league as far as creating those rivalries, probably the best thing it's done in a long time.
You know what? I'm going to go ahead and agree with you. And that's something that doesn't happen very often on this show.
True,
I've said that a lot. And I understand, well, and I understand that a lot of people miss 1 through 8, and a lot of people want it to go back to 1 through 8, because then you get less stupid stuff like better teams missing and like the whole thing. Like that third Atlantic spot might end up with fewer points than the wild card. So it's just like one of those weird things that could happen. But I'm like okay every getting... sport have the, has those. Right. Like a couple years ago, the Seattle Seahawks made the playoffs at 7-9. Right. Like it just happens.
Our last two playoff appearances in the last 5 years were against Pittsburgh and Washington. I only remember them because they were against Pittsburgh.
Divisional
and
teams, yeah. If they played, exactly. If they played Toronto, you wouldn't really. Exactly. Like, yeah, it was a and playoff series. You know, I'm sure you watched right. it and had fun, and but it's not the same.
And I'm a hockey fan. I also remember Toronto blowing the series 3 years ago or 4 years ago to Boston.
Well, they've done it a couple of times. They did it in 2013, and then they did it in 18 and 19.
They completely blew the series the 1 year. They had game 7. They had a 2-goal lead with 2 minutes left and lost the game.
I think that was 2013 when they were up 4-1 in the third period.
Yeah, yeah. Just god awful.
Leafs fans love talking about that, so we could just talk about that as much as possible.
And they've played them 2 or 3 times since then.
Yeah.
So that's a great thing.
And it's the rivalry.
Toronto rivalry is fantastic.
Absolutely.
And in anticipation of a Boston-Tampa Bay matchup this year, the two games that they just played were all-out wars. If you watch those games, we're fortunate enough to have seen those games. It's as close to it's as close to playoff hockey as you're going to see in the regular season. They know the other. They both know. For all intents and purposes, their ability to win the Stanley Cup goes through each other.
Yep, the other exactly. City. Absolutely.
Exactly. And they hit. There might have been 100 hits in the second game.
Yeah,
because there were like 80 in the first game, and neither team was willing to give an inch, and they just hit and hit and hit. It was great.
And these are teams whose playoff spots are essentially secured.
Secured.
Both teams can basically coast at this point.
Correct. No, it was total and send a message. Come April, we're going to be here.
Both
this
teams,
is how it's going
to
be.
Both teams were attempting to remove a chunk of flesh. That's for sure.
Correct. Exactly.
They were attempting to take their trophy.
That's one of my favorite
sayings.
You can lose a game, but you better extract your pound of flesh.
And both teams did their absolute darndest to do that.
Absolutely.
And they did. And those games were absolute slobber knockers.
Yep. I would say if you're not a Flyers, absent being a Flyer fan the last 2 weeks, for this past week, if you are a Tampa Bay fan or a Bruin fan, you had the best week in hockey other than Flyer fans.
Yeah, for sure.
Just from an entertainment standpoint.
But you know what? I'd still rather be a Flyers fan right now.
Oh, absolutely.
Nine straight. Fifth in the league, starting to get some real legitimate league-wide respect as
correct,
a team
correct.
That can do some severe damage this year.
Correct.
And
NHL tonight, they're talking about the Flyers and what's driving it, what's going on.
I've heard national analysts predict that the Flyers are going to win a round.
Yeah.
And it's the first time that I've heard that in so long, because it's been so long since this team was great.
Relevant enough.
This team's been good. This team's been fine. This year's team is great, man.
Before this year, for the last 5 years at a minimum, the most the conversation was at this point in the season was, can they make the playoffs?
Yeah, exactly. And that was even the conversation up
until
about a
month
and a half ago.
Exactly. It was the same conversation.
And this team has found another gear.
Correct.
Whatever Alain Vigneault did over the bye week,
you know what they're saying?
And it was even before that.
Their season is kind of mimicking the way they play a game.
Yes, they get stronger
you know
as it goes on.
If you put the season into 330 or 28 game sections or whatever it is, the first were okay. You know, they played even. Maybe
they were 500. Yeah.
500. Then the second, third, it was their they found their groove and they started hitting. And this last third,
they're crushing.
The plane's just taken off.
The Flyers are dominating.
I don't think that's accidental. I don't think that's accidental.
Right, and Alain Vigneault has a little bit of a history of this, coming into a city and setting the world on fire his first year and making a deep run. So, you know, there is a little bit of long term. I hope he's the answer long term. But in the meantime, we are going to ride the Alain Vigneault wave that he tends
right,
to bring.
I'm not worried about the 4 years from now.
No, absolutely
the guy
not.
To get us over the hump conversation.
No, because I'm thinking about right this second.
Right. Number one, it means we have a hump to get over. That's a good thing.
Right.
Number two, I also believe he's the kind of guy that can take the past experiences
and learn from it
where they didn't quite get it done and say, what needed to be done that wasn't done that didn't get us over, that we didn't get over the hump, that he hasn't won that cup yet. And look, until Trotz won the cup, Trotz didn't win the cup.
No.
So at some point, you got to win the cup to be the guy who won the cup. So,
well, is that how that works?
I think, yeah. So I think he'll get there. I think he will win one. I think he's smart enough to. And look, maybe the other teams were just, they were only going to go so far from a talent standpoint, and he maxed out. Just because you max out without a cup doesn't mean you didn't max out.
Right.
I just hope when he maxes out with this team, whether it's this year or next year, the max out is Stanley Cup win.
Oh, man, that is the first time I think those words have been said about the Flyers on this show.
Probably.
I think they are, and I'd like to let the gravity reflect the moment here.
Yeah, agreed.
Because I'd also like the record to point out that I'm not the one who said it.
Said it, right. Well, I mean, look at it. You have Sanheim and Myers, two super young 3-4 defensemen.
Myers can get there. Super young. I don't think he's there yet. Super young. But yes.
Oh, he's playing as 3-4 right now.
Yeah, but I think in an ideal role, I think he'd probably be your 5. But I think he's been very good as the 4 this year, for sure.
I think if he continues to progress, there's no reason why you wouldn't love having those two as your 3-4.
That is
guys.
How progression works, yes.
Right. Your 1-2, you can't ask any more of them.
None.
And Provorov is still learning, still getting better.
Yep.
He has more points than, I think, 9 Flyer forwards. I mean, that's how good a season he's having.
That's about right.
So if they're, and you're starting to see in his game, and I think, again, Vigneault deserves a lot of credit, and the coaching staff, which is a deep coaching staff, deserves a lot of credit for getting him into that, you know, defenseman of the year, you know, stratosphere.
Right.
He's, if there's one more gear for him to hit, he's going to be in those conversations. Then you look at how deep the forwards are and how young some of the forwards are. You still haven't gotten anything out of Patrick. If he comes back, if Oscar fortunate enough to come back, Hart's 21. I mean, how is this team not doing anything other than trending up? And look at where they're trending up from. They're not trending up from a playoff spot. They're trending up from tied for first in the division.
Yeah.
And trending up. So how do you not think over the next 3, 4, 5 years we're going to compete for the Stanley Cup?
Right, exactly.
I just don't see how you don't think that.
And the thing
And we, I'm the last guy. I'm the last
I
guy.
I know.
I actually came on the show thinking today I would actually pump the brakes a little bit, but you haven't said anything that's made me pump the brakes. And I do think
there's not much to say.
And the fandom is getting a little too excited a little too quickly.
I'm guilty.
Okay. There's, again, I just went through every reason in the world to be optimistic in the next 3 to 4 to 5 years that we're competing for the cup, and I think we will be. What I'm saying is this 9-game win streak, as much as I'm loving it and as much as it's great and as much as I think they can win the division, we have to hesitate whenever we talk about a team when they're at their absolute height.
Yes,
you normally don't finish at your height. You normally have a peak, and you finish somewhere below that peak. But you hope you finish as close to the peak as you can. And I think this team can and will.
Right.
But you know, the they're going to win the Stanley Cup this year talk, you know.
I think it's less crazy than it's ever been.
I agree with that, yes. But let's slow down, enjoy the ride, and realize what we're building long-term.
Right.
And again, the guy you got to give at least a little bit. I give way more credit to Fletcher than I do, and Vigneault than I do, but you got to give a little bit of credit to Hextall.
I give a ton of credit to Hextall, absolutely.
I give some credit to Hextall. He's put some of these people in place.
He's the one who talked about those wonderful young 3-4 defensemen that you just praised.
I understand. He's the one that held them and don't bring them up too soon. I get all that.
Yep.
He deserves some credit.
For sure.
Okay. But Fletcher, I think, deserves more in getting this point.
I'd be willing to say that. And one of the things I wanted to talk about was we touched earlier on the consistency of this team. And part of that is Vigneault. You're right. But part of that, to me, is the guys that they have gone out and got.
Have brought in.
Right?
Exactly.
You look at Kevin Hayes, and Kevin Hayes is consistently one of the best forwards on this team. Kevin Hayes doesn't have bad games. He has good games and great games.
He's one of the 21 out of 22 or whatever the number is, guys. You know, you'd be hard-pressed to find a guy who doesn't play the same way every night. And he plays the same way every night.
Right, the next
guy. He's not always successful. He doesn't always not make a mistake. Sometimes they make mistakes. Couturier last night made a god-awful mistake on a goal.
Yes, he did.
To tie the game. It's hockey.
Thankfully, the Buffalo goalie made a worse one, and Joel Farabee scored.
Right. Correct.
But
you know, sometimes you make a mistake.
Yeah. Next guy on the list, Matt Niskanen. You know what they call him? You know his nickname?
No.
They call him Steady Eddie.
Okay.
Because he's just...
They don't call him Nisky?
I mean, yeah, they do call him Nisky. But I mean, Kevin Hayes hockey, calls him Steady Eddie, man. The kid, the guy doesn't waver. The guy is just good all the time.
Look, and I know that trade was more about money than talent, and the GM that traded him away in Washington.
It's not about money at all. We retained on Gudas. We sent the same amount that we got back. It's not about money at all. It's literally just about talent.
No, they saved $4 million.
I don't believe that's the case.
Yeah, Niskanen makes like almost six, and Gudas makes like two.
I'm sorry, you're right. We took on money, I'm sorry.
And we retained
$1 million. I thought you implied that we were shedding cap. No.
They saved, Washington saved about $4 million in cap space, and they knew they were giving up the better player.
Right.
But I think they totally... Yeah,
but there had also been conversations that Matt Niskanen was done and over the hill, and he had like two years back-to-back.
I don't think for a second they thought they were getting the better player in the trade.
No, for sure.
Not for a second. But I think they missed the boat on just how big a difference there is from Niskanen.
Yeah, Niskanen had two kind of downswing seasons. And I think part of that is because you're in long playoff runs. Like, that's part of it. Like, you just play until mid-June every year. That tires you out.
And it does.
But he's looked fantastic in a Flyers uniform.
Yep.
He looks completely comfortable as the veteran of the group. He looks entirely comfortable as a leader. I love Matt Niskanen.
Yeah, look, you needed a veteran, good defenseman to play alongside Provorov anyway. I think where Fletcher hit it on the head and nailed it was getting a guy who not only would be that pairing to be the first top team defense, but getting a guy that would fit, and I said this a couple weeks ago as well, getting a guy that fits so well with Provorov's game.
Yes.
That was
and he's done wonders better, for
getting
Eisen
a good
Provorov.
Defenseman for Gudas for the amount of money that you were going to eat. Good move. Getting a guy that fits so perfectly with Provorov was the genius of the move.
Matt Niskanen is like, if Ivan Provorov ever wins a Norris, which is something you alluded to not too long ago here.
Right.
If that ever happens, the first person he thanks should be Matt Niskanen.
Right.
Because
that's
Ivan Provorov was always going to be a very good defenseman. Matt Niskanen is showing him how to be a great defenseman.
Yep, absolutely. And look, and there's no defenseman ever wins the Norris whose defensive pairing is an average everyday guy.
Right.
You know, when Mark Howell was winning it, he was a plus 85 for the season, which is an insane number, but he actually was an 80 plus 85. McCrimmon was a plus 79. Yeah, part of that is just being along for the ride, but his game meshed so beautifully with Howell's game that he enabled Howell to be Mark Howell and win those Norris trophies. If he was paired with, you know, Brad Marsh, he probably doesn't go plus 85 and is probably not a Norris winner for multiple years.
Doc Brown, it's 2020.
Look, if you're a Flyer fan, you know Mark Howell.
Sure. Sure.
Okay, we don't forget our last Norris Trophy winning defense.
But speaking of a little time travel, I did actually want to mention the fact that we haven't really talked about this week's games at all.
Correct.
I mentioned on last week's show that the Flyers had a bit of a tough schedule coming up and that it was 3 weeks of basically nonstop playoff teams.
Right, and you know what?
The Flyers went 3-0 this week and gave up a combined 4 goals.
Right, and this is how good they're playing.
Yeah,
They're the last two wins.
You know what?
3-1.
The Buffalo game?
They didn't even play that well.
The Buffalo game on Saturday night was a poor game.
Yeah.
Flyers shouldn't have won that game. If they're playing Washington or Carolina or Boston, Tampa, Minnesota, Edmonton, any of the other teams that they're playing coming up, if they had played them on Saturday night, those teams would have kicked the Flyers' teeth in. The Flyers
agree,
got lucky that their poor effort came against Buffalo.
Right, but don't think that part of the reason why the effort wasn't quite, or at least the product
I'm sure
wasn't
correct.
Quite as good, is because it was Buffalo.
Yeah, I'm sure that's fair.
They're human. And I'm not going to say they played poorly. They just played their worst game of the week.
No, and it was definitely a potential letdown game. And the fact found a way to win, and they sure found a way to win.
Right.
And they definitely did that. I want to touch on the Carolina game, too, because that Carolina game, they scored a couple of goals and, you know, ho-hum. Carolina scores a couple minutes into the third period. All of a sudden, there's a lot of time left. It's a one-goal game. This game is nowhere near over. A minute and a half later, bang, bang, two goals in 30 seconds.
It's done.
We've talked about how you put teams away. That is how you win hockey games in the NHL. Yep.
And it's from game to game. It's from shift to shift sometimes. Yep. It's period to period sometimes. Their ability to react. And again, I think part of that is just hitting the ice knowing our next shift, this is how we're going to play because this is how we always play.
Yeah.
That lends itself to being very resilient and good things happening time after time after time after a bad thing happens.
Right. And I think Alain Vigneault is a very, very dangerous person to give home ice to because you're in the playoffs. He's going to have 7 games to pick apart your videotape, dissect you, and break you down. He's proving that he can do it live in a game. Imagine what he's going to do with 9 days of video.
I can absolutely tell you how quick he can do it in game.
I know.
I'll give you an absolute for instance.
Go for it.
The Washington game. Our power play, the first two, I'm going to say it might have been three, but at least certainly the first two.
Didn't really do a whole lot.
They were horrible. Yeah. They were horrible. Washington just killed the penalty without any,
Flyers barely
any
touched
chance
the puck.
Of us scoring. Exactly, without any chance of scoring a goal. Just couldn't stay set up. We got in the zone, couldn't stay in the zone. They were on us so fast. And I turned the mic and I said, if we play this team in the playoffs, actually, you know what? I was with my brother. I said, my brother, if we play this team in the playoffs, Vigneault is going to have to die.
He's not also named Mike. Every man in your family is not just named Mike. That's
no,
not how that works.
His name's Anthony.
Okay.
I said this, if we play Washington in the playoffs, Vigneault is going to, and I'm sure he will, he's going to have to figure out something for the power play because they've obviously figured out something that we do that they've taken away. The very next two power plays.
Bang, bang.
We had full 2-minute possession time.
Yep.
And they completely adjusted.
Pressure.
And there wasn't even a between period. That was on the bench.
Right. That was between power plays.
Right. I mean, so their ability to shift on the fly, even from period and period, period, and game to game, they just know what they're doing. And what they did was they realized that they have the way Washington plays, you're not going to have time to look.
Right.
You're going to have to move the puck fast. The first two puck movements have to be very quick to force Washington
you have
to
get
sit
them
back
moving
for a second.
For sure.
Exactly. You have to get them to stop for a second to see where the puck is.
Yep.
So those
you
got to
make them reevaluate.
Very pass. Yeah. Exactly. Exactly.
And Alain Vigneault will break that down over a 7-game series. He's a dangerous man to
better.
Give that much time
right.
to. Right.
Exactly. Exactly. Look,
and
you gave him 30,
and
you gave
if you have
seconds.
Home ice, he's got last change so he can get the matchup
right.
he wants.
Right, you gave him 3 minutes on the bench and he figured out something. So
exactly.
Imagine if you give him 2 weeks to in a whole series to figure something out. So,
and you know what,
boy we love ourselves some Vigneault, don't we?
And you know what, we're definitely going to get to see the best out of him this week. It's 4 tough games: Boston Tuesday, fly to Tampa to play Tampa Thursday, and then a back to back with Minnesota Edmonton next weekend, both on home ice. It's a tough week, man. Minnesota and Edmonton are both, well in the thick of the Western Conference playoff race.
Okay.
Edmonton is leading their division. They're tied for the division lead, just like the Flyers are. Minnesota is 1 point out. They're hungry. Neither of those games is easy.
Okay. Here's how far the Flyers have come. Put your Flyers glasses back on.
Yeah, I know.
Forget who they're playing. We're the tough team to play.
I know.
It doesn't matter who the opponent is. We're going to win 2-1-1 or 3-1.
It's weird hearing this out of you.
We're going to be fine. It's not about who we play anymore. It's about who plays us. It's the way we play. It's what we bring to the table. It's how we play the game that night. It has way less to do with the opponent and what we do and what our formula is for success. And they'll be just fine. It doesn't matter who they play.
You know what? If you're speaking like this and this positively, and I love to say it, I can't respond to that. We just have to end the show. You can find the show on Twitter. Like, I really don't know what to do. Like, find the show on Twitter at YWT Podcast. I don't even know what else to say. At YWT Podcast. You can talk to Mike. He's super positive now, apparently. He's at Mike from S Jersey. If you want to ask his son, he's at Mike_Giletto. Subscribe to the show on iTunes. Like, I'm really stunned here. Subscribe to the show on iTunes. We're on iTunes, Podbean, Facebook, Instagram, Spotify. I think I might have said that already. I'm really flustered here. You got me really thrown off.
I got you speechless. Look out.
You really do. And speechless is not good for a podcast. That's why I'm trying to end it.
No, correct.
On that note, we're going to get out of here. Next week's show, I'm gonna tease this a little bit. Next week's show is going to be from a very special location. And,
awesome.
Mike, you're going to have the week off. I'm telling you this live on the air. So,
Well, good. It'll give me 2 weeks to get negative.
There you go. You can listen to next week's show and figure out where we're broadcasting from. And I think you'll appreciate that.
But I'll let you know it.
We'll talk off the air. Anything else you got to say before we get out of here?
No, I'm good. I'm in such a good mood.
All right. It's a great day in the neighborhood. So. All right. We're going to get out of here. Bandwagon fans, thank you for coming. I hope you return next week. Next week, I will not call you bandwagon fans. From now on, you are Flyers fans, and that's it. And we are all one, and we are all heading to the playoffs, and that is for sure.
And I will just say one last thing, bandwagon fans, if you're going to jump on, please stay.
We love hockey.
Exactly.
Here we are. We love to have you. We're Flyers fans now, and you are welcome, right.
welcome as long as you would like. Just once you jump on, stay on.
You're welcome as long as you would like, and we'll see you next week.